This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Which blonde girl are you going to throw at me next?
This Barbie is dumb because it's alienating. It's not humanizing, it's alienating.
Get out of here! And shut up!
I'm fucking watching Dora!
These movies are nonsense.
If I were a girl like you...
You wanna be
B-A-R-B-A-E. You said A.
Oh my god.
What's going on?
Be who you wanna be. B-A-R-B-I-E. Barbie girl.
Oh my goodness.
Barbie Dreamhouse, Barbie, Barbie Malibu, Barbie.
Mm. Barbie.
Barbie. Barbara.
Barbie is the topic at hand.
And let's be specific about
not
it.
Not Barbie 2023.
No.
Barbie.
Barbie as.
The as.
Barbie,
Barbie in.
The.
Barbie colon. Barbie of the.
And you know what we're talking about. If you know, you know. We're talking, about the Barbie animated movies that started coming out in, what was it, 2001?
2001.
2001.
Or was it 2000? No, I think it's 2001.
Let me pull up the Excel. The first one we're talking about is, or the first one of what we're talking about is Nutcracker.
Well, we're not going to leap right into Nutcracker.
We're not going to leap right into it, but that's what I'm talking about. Those are the genres we're talking about.
When you would wake up on Christmas and your parents had gotten you the new Barbie VHS that had just come out. And we only go from 2001 to 2008 because that was kind of our prime time in terms of when we were watching Barbie stuff.
Yeah.
But there have been at least one, probably multiple Barbie animated films that come out a year since 2001. Like, it has been over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
it came out October 2nd, 2001.
I just want to start by saying that Kelly Sheridan is my Barbie.
Kelly Sheridan is my Barbie.
Kelly Sheridan is Barbie. Like, to me, when you say Barbie, I think the voice of Kelly Sheridan, that Barbie, that animatronic that they had the VFX to make dance like ballerinas because they could track human movement. And,
that's right.
And what they chose to do was make a
Barbie
bunch of ballet
movies. Yeah.
With Barbie as the main character.
Honestly.
Like, she looks like a doll. She
Whoever, like,
she
really wanted
like
that to happen, go off. Like, they were like, this is what we need to do. Go on ahead, then.
So the first thing I did want to say was that Kelly Sheridan is my Barbie. Like, she is Barbie to me. She also plays Barbie in my scene. Which we'll get to in the future. Which is Mattel, but it's not Barbie.
There's
even
an
though
extensive
there's
history to
a
this all.
My scene named Barbie. It's not the same.
It's not the same Barbie. This is Barbie in her own life.
Sorry you're confused, but they're not the same person.
No, and honestly, while I could sit here and make a theory about maybe this is Barbie from Barbie Diaries who moved somewhere, I don't even want to think like
I don't
like
think that.
That. I don't like the idea of thinking that Barbie is the Barbie in my scene. They are completely
two
different
people. They act different, too. Like, I won't say anything about which one is better right now.
I'll just
now,
say, but they're also...
But they're not the same. And
there's no consistency on how Barbie acts.
No.
Even in the Barbie ones, though.
And speaking of, the second thing I wanted to say up top was that we watched... all of the movies we're about to discuss.
Okay.
From 2001 to 2008, in the last month, it has been hands down one of the worst experiences of my life.
This has been one of the craziest things we've done.
It has been torturous.
If
going in I knew the quality of these movies, if I remembered the quality of all these movies going in, I would have said no.
The lack of plot in all these movies, the lack of plot, the way that nothing happens in these movies, but the way that not a single thing happens in any of these movies,
except for a few. Our two favorites.
Yes, and we'll get into that. But we intended to watch every last one, even the most current one, maybe that dropped in 2016. I don't know when the last one dropped, but we couldn't.
We did not. No, we didn't even intend that.
We dropped out.
We intended to go through 2013. We intended to stop in 2013, and I said,
we couldn't do it.
I can't even do this.
We even skipped Mariposa and just watched Christmas Carol and stopped because we were like, we never saw Mariposa. They're saying the word Mariposa.
It's apparently Barbie playing Mariposa, but it's not Kelly Sheridan. It's not Barbie.
Not Barbie playing Mariposa. What's her name? It's actually not Barbie playing
Mariposa.
It's something
what's her name?
Quite confusing because
Alina.
The girl, it's not Alina.
It's
because
not
it's
Alina.
It's
Mariposa.
It's a whole different character, but it's in the same universe as Fairytopia where Barbie is already playing Alina. So this can't be Barbie. This must be someone else.
It is someone else because it's a different voice actress. And so we didn't even touch that because I'm telling you, I think I was having a harder time with Amber. Like, I literally was complaining, whining, moaning,
I was
groaning.
Like, we can do it.
Through all the movies. Except for Princess and the Pauper and Island Princess.
What really gave it up for me where I was like, Amanda's right, is when we put on 12 Dancing Princesses and I fell asleep. I watched 10 minutes and I was like, okay.
Girls, like,
I can't do this. I'm so tired.
And you know what? Both can be true. These movies can have tortured me to my very soul. And Kelly Sheridan is my Barbie. And when I think of Barbie, like, I don't think of the dolls. Like, mm-mm. We didn't play with a lot of Barbie dolls. As soon as My Scene came out, we said no
we
more
said,
Barbie
no
dolls.
More. Get us the My Scene. Get us the My Scene.
Get us the My Scene dolls.
Get us the My Scene, Jamie and the Americans.
They're prettier.
The
they're more fashionable. They're more modern. Like
they have.
They're more
they came with CDs.
They came with personalities.
I
the
love
games
them.
Online.
The games. The webisodes. Give us My Scene.
The
forget
movies,
Barbie.
Forget Barbie.
The dolls. My Scene dolls were ours. Like we stopped playing with Barbies entirely.
And
it didn't even matter what Barbie was releasing at that point.
We're gonna do a My Scene episode because honestly, they're more our culture than Barbie. But Barbie movies are our culture, and we have to pay homage. And they also laid the groundwork.
Yes.
So we cannot ignore it. And
yes.
So I want to say, when Barbie the movie came out, I was excited because I was like, yeah, like Princess and the Pauper memes are coming back into style. Like Island Princess is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like literally we watched it last night and we'll get to it at the end. But like, oh, it's it's literally Broadway.
It's so good.
Music.
It's so good. Okay.
I was excited for the Barbie movie. However, like when I watched it, it was all about like the dolls that had come out since the 50s. It was like,
yeah.
It was like more and more Barbie dolls from the 50s.
It was for the original Barbie fans.
It was for the original. It was like our mom's age fans, which is why I was like, oh, this is probably like the mom is the main character. Like she's the one that likes the Barbies. Saying to Amber, I was like, why doesn't this resonate with me? Like this Barbie and like this personality like doesn't resonate with me at all because I was like, Barbie wasn't everything. She was not a doctor. She was not a lawyer.
She was an actress in several different weird ass movies.
And so then that's when Amber said she's an actress. The Barbie we know is Barbie the actress.
Yeah, we would see her as Elena, as Rapunzel, as what's the girl name in Nutcracker? Mary, was it? Elizabeth? Whatever it
is. Odette.
That's Swan Lake. But yes,
what did you say?
Nutcracker. Mary.
No, it was not Mary.
Wasn't it Elizabeth?
Clara, it's Clara.
Clara.
Mary?
I don't know.
No,
she was giving Mary to me.
No, literally, I was like, where was the doctor? Where was the lawyer? She was never a doctor. She was always a fairy or like a swan or something.
Right.
And then Amber was like, that's Barbie the actress. Like, that's Barbie.
Like, we got stereotypical Barbie. Or I would call her original Barbie. I would not call her stereotypical Barbie, but that's on the movie. We got Barbie.
I mean, she is kind of stereotypical Barbie. She's like what you think of a Barbie looks like.
Well, yeah, but she's also the original Barbie. I guess not fair for the land of Barbies. She is
the original Barbie. But my point is that like I never saw Barbie like look like Issa Rae as a president. You know, I was like the way that they were like she's everything. He's just Ken. I was like that's not what I grew like.
Yeah,
it's like that's not the Barbie I grew up with.
Right.
I grew up with a Barbie who was sorry. Bland.
Yes.
like simple,
like
minded,
damsel in distress,
like the nicest person ever, but like with nothing behind her
eyes. Like really naive. Kind of just like, why is this girl so mean to me?
Like, oh my goodness, she's so upsetting. Like, yeah. Why would you ever be such a bitch? Right.
Yeah, when the Barbie the movie press, was it?
The like the campaign.
Yeah, the marketing campaign came out. I was like, that is how the dolls were. And the reason I remember that's how the dolls were was because I was remembering Eve's great. No matter where she goes, dress her up from her head to her toes. At the mall, she loves high fashion after dark. At the ball, she'll spend the whole night dancing. Shine bright, shine star, don't be shy, be a star. But anyways, so that's like when I saw that campaigning, I was like, oh, Eve was based off of Barbie. I wasn't thinking about Barbie, if
Amber,
I'm honest.
Amber, that's my exact thought process. Like, I was like,
look at that.
I was like,
black.
I was like, okay. I was like, okay, yeah, I vaguely remember Barbie being dressed as like
everything.
Yeah, like,
she did have a doctor thing.
She's in the Navy.
And
she's
then you start to think about the Barbie games. Like, she was a mother, but she was also a businesswoman. And she did have
a babysitter.
Whole plane, didn't she? She was a babysitter.
Pilot.
Yo, she had a cruise. Like,
and then there was a version of her that was a celebrity. And that's the only one that I paid attention to.
Right.
Like, literally. Yeah,
like,
I was like, okay, yeah, I remember that. And then I was like, oh, that's the whole thing about Eve. Is like, she can literally... But I will say that I think that Life Size made a satire out of that better than Barbie, the movie, in terms of, like, she's everything. Honestly.
Because she's just there banging on the keys and eating butter.
Yeah, I just.
Are you talking about Eve?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
She's
like,
just eating slots of butter.
I feel like Barbie, the movie, took a lot from Life Size.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the plot, and like this like naive little doll out in the real world, like it's the same plot.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it parodied it better in Life Size, or at least clearer to me, because the she's everything, he's just Ken might ring a little hollow for people our age, because we grew up with the Barbie the animated movies. And if you
she isn't everything,
if you want her, say she's an actress, okay, like say the actress is very smart, all right, we'll make that up in our mind, but the plot lines of these movies are like overwhelmingly just like
bland.
Barbie is bland. She's mediocre. She's a pretty blonde girl, and she gets everything she wants because she's so much kinder than the people around her.
She has the kindest heart in the
world. She has the kindest heart in the world. And who are the people around her?
Men.
The biggest bitches in the world.
Like, biggest bitches in the world, and then random bland men.
Bland men that save her, and narcissistic crazy villains.
And Amanda was saying last night when we were wrapping up, she said the villains who are completely human are the most interesting characters in the entire, and she was talking about out of the villains, but I'm gonna like say that they are the most interesting characters in the franchise because they had life behind their eyes and reasoning for things.
Backstory, motives.
Like, yeah, it was just kind of Barbie
arcs.
Being like, I'm so nice. Why would anyone want to bring harm to me? I have to help this person. I'm going to help them somehow. Everyone's going to help me help them because I'm so kind.
Literally.
In all of these movies.
All of them. And half of them have a Kelly Frame story. Half of them don't for some reason. But half of them and how they started was that Kelly would be like
upset about
being a brat about something. Like, I don't want to go to the mall. I don't want to go to the family dinner.
I don't want to
go to the Christmas
party.
I don't want
to
compete in the races tomorrow.
I'm nervous.
I don't like Christmas. And then Barbie comes on. She's like, Kelly, well, where do you think Christmas comes from, silly? Let me tell
with
you a 2-hour long story.
She's like, let's get out of the party. But I want to say something. I don't even want to rag on Kelly this hard because I'm about to
Kelly was our self-insert.
Character. Right. Well, yeah, but like, I don't even want to rag on Kelly's heart because what Kelly was feeling at the beginning of all these movies was an immense amount of anxiety, and I don't think people understand that children have anxiety. And she was having anxiety, and Barbie was throwing her weird ass stories that had nothing to do with anything. Like, Kelly said, I don't want to participate in the community act that we're going to do tomorrow. I'm scared. And Barbie said something about Swan Lake. She said, well, have you heard of the Swan?
Have you heard of the story of Swan Lake?
And then the Christmas Carol party Kelly was like, I want to do my traditions where I'm happy. I don't want to go to this big party. And she said, well, and then gave her a Christmas carol. Like, she wasn't being that bratty. She was just like, I don't want to go out to this party because I want to stay home in my pajamas and do our traditions. And Barbie said, well, you're going to end up like Scrooge.
Yeah, literally, you're going to end up like Scrooge, miserable for the rest of your life. Because
like, she just wanted to have some cookies.
Because a child said that she
inside,
hated Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, she hated Christmas in, like, but she wasn't being serious about
it. Right. She was just like, I don't want to do whatever plans you've changed up on.
I grew up with a grudge against Kelly because...
Because we wanted to be Kelly.
No, well, also...
We should have watched Kelly's Diamond Adventure or whatever.
I love that
movie. We should have watched that.
I love that movie.
It is
but
so beautiful.
I didn't necessarily want to be Kelly. I feel like I wanted to be Barbie, and so therefore I saw Kelly as like extra.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't care about Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And she is kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like
She is annoying. I won't say she's not.
She's coming from
whiny town.
From real places.
Yes.
And Barbie is giving her bullshit stories to as an answer for her problem.
Yes.
She's like moralizing her.
Right.
However,
it's coming from whiny town.
And
that's not on us or Kelly. That's on the creators.
Literally, which are mostly men. I'm like, Barbie movies should never be directed by men.
Okay. And also, we're not just going to rag on Barbie this whole time.
No.
We're just talking about how we're looking at this as adults right
now. That's what I'm saying. Is like, I grew up with these movies. The Barbie animated movies have a special place in my heart.
Yes.
I genuinely love Princess and the Pauper and Island Princess.
And even the imagery of the ones that didn't have a story. Like, I was like, this is really, like, not a good plot, but I'm happy to see this again because it's familiar to me. I don't need to see it all the time, but I was happy to see it when we were watching
it. Like, I love the sparkles. I love mermaids. I love fairies. I love princesses. Like, I love pink and purple and blue. But at the same time, upon rewatch of these movies, Barbie is so passive, mediocre, blonde, white girl
mm-hmm.
that it's kind of like triggering me because I'm like, I idolized her mm-hmm. in the same way that I idolized other mediocre, blonde, white girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it so that the message of the Barbie movie rings a little bit hollow for me.
Yeah.
Which is why I understand why Sasha and her friends in the movie were like, yeah, fuck Barbie. Like, you don't represent anything. You're not powerful.
Yeah.
You do not represent feminism. Like, to me, what I grew up with, you're people just like you because you're thin and pretty and blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of resonate with that.
Because that's what was going on in the movies.
That's what was going on in the Barbie movies, in the Barbie content. Like, it was the only Barbie content we were getting
mm-hmm.
as the last, most recent generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like the she's everything and he's just Ken sentiment is just an updated version of, like, girl boss feminism, which mm-hmm. is, like, girls are literally everything and men are stupid, which mm-hmm. is just gender essentialist again, which I don't feel like is productive. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's productive to be like, and don't you love when, like, the girl is so hot and her boyfriend's the ugliest man you've ever seen? It's mm-hmm. like, I'm like, that's boring to me. That, like,
okay,
feminism
yes.
that's like,
yeah.
women are everything and men suck. It's like, it's
balance,
like,
find balance.
It's just find balance and nuance.
But yes, find balance and nuance. But also, I did like,
very binary.
I did like how that tagline, people were using it to show how the movies we grew up with did have a lot of, like, female characters that should have been given more light than to whoever they were, like, the love interest for.
Yeah.
Like, you have, like, I did like that part, which is also, like, there's give and take in that. And so I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like, I think the intention of it, and in the movie itself, like,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the marketing campaign, but in the movie itself, that is what it was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
women have to do, like, 50 times as much to be thought of as, like, special or good at something than men do.
Mm-hmm.
And when in reality, most of the reality is that women are very smart and they underplay their smartness, and men are sometimes pretty dumb and
mm-hmm.
overplay how smart they are. I think that is what the satire was meant for. And so, like, I think that
was
showed in the movie.
Funny,
but because the tagline was like that, and a lot of the people that
it could be easily taken to be just white feminist, no nuance.
And it has been because people have memeified it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm talking about is, like, the memes that I've seen since, and, like, they'll do it with new movies.
Well,
I feel
now
like
I have I have an example. Like if they sometimes they do it with Zendaya and Tom, and I'm like, now Zendaya is amazing, but so is Tom.
Yeah, that's what.
Please do not reduce Tom.
Right, he's very talented.
He's very talented.
He's very successful.
I am proud of him. Tom and Zendaya are a power couple, and let's not take that away from them.
Okay, that's a good point that I was not thinking of. I was thinking like it's kind of like the she's everything, he's just Ken mindset, mm-hmm. like the oversimplification of that mindset that can happen with Twitter and stuff has been just planted right onto like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Oh.
And like I feel like I don't know, I'm just like there's too much binary jokes happening recently where it's like girl dinner, girl math, boy math, and it's like if you do this you're like a girl, if you do this you're like a boy, and it's like I know it's joking, but then it's like still oversimplifying gender and like oversimplifying like the complexities of gender, and I know they're just jokes, but I'm like, can we get away from like trad wife like energy here?
There are jokes, and a lot of the people who are like really comfortable with their identity are able to make them as a joke, but there might be like kids or any age actually kind of trying to figure out how they identify and they don't identify with just one, and so that can be something that it's like, how do I hop in on this one?
And I feel like there's these memes are so popular that they're in the mainstream too. It's not just like among queer people, it's or even people that are just online. It's like among like the general public, like the general population, and it's like very conservative people think it's funny and like join in on it. And I just feel like I don't know if I'm communicating what I actually am feeling. Because I don't want to just be like, oh, the Barbie movie sucked, because I don't think that. Mm-hmm. I just think that there is a resurgence of binary gender being enforced through things that might seem like they're counterculture, but they really aren't. And like, I just don't think that saying essentially all women are smarter and better and essentially all men are stupid is useful to combating patriarchy, and the ways in which people socialized as girls and people socialized as boys are taught to be like, and the values that they're taught to value. I think that's a conversation, but saying, yeah, women are just superior and better in every single way because they're women, and men are only driven by sex and they're so stupid and they can't have thoughts for themselves and they are not emotionally intelligent, is like, wouldn't you rather believe in a world where men can be more emotionally intelligent and men it's like being, well, you know, my husband, he just doesn't know where to put the toilet paper and he's useless. It's like, if you say that he's useless, he's going to act useless and he's not going to be
like, hold him accountable.
Don't be like, yeah, men are just trash, so like they can't do anything. Hold them accountable.
It's kind of like boys will be boys coming into a different nuance. It's like, no. Let's stop them from being boys and let's help them a little bit.
Yes.
Like whatever derogatory thing you're applying to the word boys, let's bring it up a little bit.
That's exactly what I mean.
And I hear
and
what
you
you're
said
saying.
It very short, way no, shorter
no,
than
I
did.
Hear what you're saying. And I think that anybody who wants to understand what you were saying or wants to like learn or like look at something in a different perspective will hear exactly what you're saying. It's also, I said it like that in a short way, but it's also what you said in a short way earlier today. You were like, women can do anything, include suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can be bad, too. They can be bad at what they do, too. Like,
right.
It's like, don't put anyone so on a pedestal or anyone so at the bottom that there's not a possibility of
growth
and, like, balance between the two, because then it's just pointless. You're still doing the separation, or you're still doing the segregation of one or the other.
Yeah.
Just the other way, and it's just the other extreme.
I saw a post that was like, idolizing someone is just as dehumanizing as villainizing them.
That's right, like, because if you can't see someone that you idolize
as
is able to have a bad day and fuck up, you are not giving them the amount of respect that they deserve.
No, that's dehumanizing.
Yes.
Like, it's like, you're more than human. Nobody is more than human, and nobody's less than human. Mm-hmm. We're all human.
Yes.
And we need to continue to humanize people. I feel like the nuances of she's everything, he's just Ken, like right off the bat didn't resonate with me, because the Barbie that I saw growing up was so fucking useless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way she was written, and we idolized her anyway because she was like
pretty,
even because
and
she was pretty,
were around her
because she was pretty and white and blonde, we idolized her. And Amber said in these movies, this is white blonde supremacy, like all
because
of the most important characters
are
white and blonde, and all the prettiest, most desirable characters are white and blonde,
and then you have like a brunette friend and a redheaded friend, and I mean,
and
like,
then a dark villain
and you,
a villain with dark features.
Yeah. yeah, one of the villains is very like anti-Semitic looking, mm-hmm. I'm gonna say.
A lot of them are.
And so that also kind of brings me back to like, it perpetuates some white feminism because, or whatever, I don't want to say.
It is white feminism.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that because of the next sentence I'm about to say, but like the movies that were kind of second wave feminism or whatever, where it was like, it's showing a brunette girl going through it.
Yeah. Like a brunette girl with glasses.
Yeah, going through it, like, in, like, all the potential she has. That really rose people up, like, a certain demographic up who looked like that. And it's like, this isn't the end of diversity. This isn't the...
Right.
That isn't as far as we can go.
Right. It's like, oh, what's your type? Well, you know what? Not blonde.
I like a girl with brunette hair and glasses, actually. Yeah. I think that's pretty cute.
I think
and why? It's because you grew up in a generation of movies where they're actually humanizing them a little more.
Right.
You're seeing like, from their perspective in a different way. Like,
actually, I think get it. I together. Think brunettes are really cute. I don't know. Blondes just don't do it for me. I'm sorry. I think brunettes are hot.
Yeah. And like even redheads with Ron Weasley. Like, it's just like there was more representation. That's yeah. what's happening.
Barbie. Literally, Kelly's blonde. Like all the self-insert characters, all the characters that you're supposed to relate to are blonde.
Yeah.
And then the most interesting characters are the villains from Princess and the Pauper and Island Princess, like yes. literally, like they have real backstories that they say.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about Barbie. She's so passive. This leads into like true sexism, like true misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Barbie that I grew up with just reinforced. She was an angel. She was amazing. We are supposed to idolize her,
but why?
We're supposed to idolize the qualities that she exhibits, which are passiveness,
yeah.
and ease. Like I'm not difficult.
Yeah,
like I'm nice to everybody, and anyone that's mean to me is because of them, mm-hmm. not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like Mean by Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. like embodied, mm-hmm. is Barbie.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, what, little old me? And then whenever she's like trying to get with Ken, which like we can get into whether or not it's Ken.
Now let me talk about something actually.
No, don't. I'm wait.
Okay.
Just wait. Lose my train of thought.
Okay, go. Because I got shit to say about
that man. When Ken is like, Bart, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm in love with you. She's always like, me?
I have to go.
I couldn't. I have to go.
I'm not worth it.
I have to leave. I'm not worth it. You can't give up your crown for me.
Like, the most, like, blonde, like, westernized, perfect-looking woman.
Passive.
Like, not for me.
Passive.
Make it work. Make it work.
Passive, and the man will come, and she doesn't ever, like, do anything. She literally doesn't have any agency. Everything happens to her. The plot moves forward never because of her. It's never, ever, mm-hmm. ever, ever, mm. ever because of anything a character that Barbie has
she
played is doing.
She sits back and like...
She sits and she lets things
happen
to her.
Someone comes and helps.
Someone comes and helps. And I feel like the message of the Barbie movies is be pretty blonde and white and thin.
And gracious.
And everything that an American woman should be.
Be thankful for what you have.
Be thankful for what you have and gracious. And the love of your life will come and everything good will happen to you because even if someone is the skankest ass stank bitch you've ever run into in your life, kill them with kindness and they, in the end, will realize they were being mean to you all along.
And that's just
and if they don't, then it's their fault and you are kind and good and you are blonde and good and kind.
Yeah, no, it's like you can also speak up for yourself and you can also take action.
You can do things, you know.
You can do things, you know.
Which is the part of the Barbie movie that I did resonate with. Like, I was like, okay, I'm getting there. I had to act. I honestly, when I sat down for it, I had to, like, retool my brain to be like, okay, this is not the Barbie that I grew up with. Like, I genuinely had to be like, okay, so this is not the Barbie I grew up with. And I immediately was like, my mother needs to see this because this is the Barbie that she grew up with. Like, yeah. These are the Barbie dolls that she grew up with. And so the satire probably is hitting very hard for her because that's like the Barbie canon that she has.
Right.
But the Barbie canon that I have is Barbie running around useless through a forest, snow, the beach,
a bridge, the cobble road.
Like, the sea. Like, I'm sorry, like, that's the Barbie that I know. She's useless and pathetic.
But she's really pretty and
But she's
kind.
So pretty and kind.
So, with all of that master review, the general review of what we...
Have learned
and thought about while watching this back as ourselves currently, we are going to just give us... Let's talk about a little checklist.
Right.
Of what is in every Barbie movie. What makes a Barbie film?
What makes a Barbie film? I feel like it's...
And what makes one better than the other?
Right. We've said that it's Barbie who is passive and, like, literally doesn't move the plot forward. She's really pretty and she's really kind. Mm-hmm. Like, she's always going to be kind.
Yes.
Watch these movies. She's never going to be mean.
No.
And that's why they didn't use Kelly Sheridan in Christmas Carol.
She's never going to be mean. She was not in Christmas Carol with where the main Barbie-looking woman was Scrooge. And also, now that you say it, the only time I've seen her be a little bit of a brat was in Magic of Pegasus. And those were some really high stakes for her.
Bro, that was... Okay, we'll get to it with Magic.
We'll get with it there. But that was
blew my mind.
That blew my mind, and that is one of the reasons why Magic of Pegasus, while it's not one of the originals that I remembered very well, I will go ahead and say it was better than the others. It was better than the others. Some of the others.
I felt the opposite, but it might. But I don't know what about that movie, but I hated it.
I think it was the animals. I think there were too many talking animals. So many weird animals.
Okay. So it's Barbie being dumb as hell. Kelly being miserable, usually, but not
sometimes,
always.
She's not always in there. There might just be a little girl.
And if Kelly is in the main plot, she's with two other Kellys that have different hair color.
Yes.
And they're triplets, and they're obsessed with whoever's the Ken character.
Yes.
Which brings us to Ken.
And sometimes there's a little boy.
And sometimes there's a little boy named Tommy.
Yes.
And then, which brings us to Ken.
Who is not Ken. And I think this is another reason.
What Amber means is that he never looks like Ken.
That is not Ken. What they have put in the box on the shelves that we grew up with, if that's what Ken looks like, not a single one of her male counterparts in any of these movies is Ken.
No.
Not a single one. They all look different from each other. They look like boys named like Josh or like Ben.
That's Ben, Josh, Nick, Aaron.
And Brody. Like he doesn't look like Ken, and it's not Ken because he doesn't talk like how I think Ken would talk. He doesn't look as blonde as I would think Ken would be. He doesn't move about like he would be a Ken.
They just
like,
all these Kens, they're played by the same guy, and we don't know his name.
Are they even?
Most of them are played by the same guy.
And then some are played by the guy who voices Hudson from My Scene.
Yes.
But he's not Ken. He doesn't resemble him at all. And that's why when Barbie and Ken became a thing, I forgot about Ken.
I always forgot about Ken.
I forgot about Ken because when I watched these movies, it was Barbie. And there was no Ken. There was a man she had to fall in love with, but it wasn't Ken.
I think it's hilarious that this is the case because I just finished talking about how she's everything, he's just Ken. Did not resonate with me, but now I'm like... Well, maybe it did resonate with me because Ken was nowhere. And also, when he was there, I hate him. I don't like Ken.
He's annoying.
I don't like Ken.
He's always chuckling in a weird way.
He's always just kind of
holding his
snarky,
hand out.
Like a little bit snarky. Or if he's not snarky, then he's too sincere.
Yes.
And like too obsessed with her right away because she's so pretty and kind and blonde. And he's just kind of like a wuss. And so it's like, yeah, I guess she's something.
He's always holding his hand out.
And he's not anything.
He's
like,
nothing.
It's like more like, she's something and he's...
There. Get out of here. If you're not going to do anything to help, get out of here.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay?
I agree.
And
so,
you know what? Now I take back my Magic of Pegasus because that Ken...
He was so
air quotes,
fucking...
Actually was useless. He was tossing around, acting like a brat.
Put a pin in it until we get to Magic of Pegasus.
Okay.
No, but there's just a couple more things that make a Barbie movie.
Oh, right.
So we've got Barbie being blonde and kind, Kelly being whiny, and sometimes she's not there, and half the time Barbie's telling Kelly a story.
Yes. Odd animation.
Of course, that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
Annoying, the most annoying ass baby animals I've ever seen in my life. And
an
annoying ass animal, talking animals.
That's something strong to say because I love animals. I love animated animals. I think they're adorable.
Something about me is
that... And these are disturbing.
Is that baby animals will always make me cry. Like Happy Feet, for example. That baby, like, being bullied and then, like, almost, like, eaten by those big birds or something or whatever. I don't remember what happens because I've only seen it twice because it makes me cry.
Sucks.
I can't deal with baby animals being sad.
No.
So this is coming from a person who usually likes baby animals. Now, it's also coming from a person who usually hates talking animals. I cannot stand talking pet animals.
Mm-mm,
like I had to
actually,
say it with baby talking pet animals because because it freaks me out. Like Beverly Hills Chihuahua, like
live action talking pet animals. I can't
like,
do.
I cannot do that. Or
but I can do like, the animated.
I don't really
pet
even
animals.
Like Bolt. Like I don't really even like The Greatest Journey Ever. What is that called? Homecoming's End.
Homeward the Bound. End. Journey, a Homeward Bound, whatever that movie is called. That movie, I will never watch it again.
It's so sad.
I will never watch that again.
It's so depressing and sad, but also, like, I just don't, something about pet animals talking doesn't sit right with me. And I think it's because I had this epiphany while we were watching.
I feel like I know what you're about to say, but if not.
A movie, one of the Barbie movies, but I realize I can't stand when pet animals talk and have full lives, because to me it's almost as if the creators and the audiences, who are largely white, are okay with sympathizing with a character who has full complex thought, full emotion, and like full opinions, and they're being owned by somebody else. These pet animals, if they have that much complex emotion and thought and opinion as you think they do, you're okay with them being owned. Like, you're okay with human beings owning something that's capable of full emotion and thought, which just doesn't sit right with me.
When you put it that way, that's actually insane, and that's why, like, Pixar should stop animating things.
And I don't, and notice, I don't have a problem with, like, BoJack Horseman, the animals and the humans are equals. I don't have a problem with Shrek, because Donkey is not Shrek's pet. Zootopia, everybody's animals. They're not equal, but, like, they're treated as,
yeah,
like,
as humans.
Equally, like...
Like, humanized.
Humanized.
But that's the whole point of the movie, so.
But that's a good point. So I don't like it in Barbie movies when they these pets have full emotions, full lives, they're like having their own, and they're just owned.
Wait, that's a good point for literally everything we've ever grown up with. I'm thinking Toy Story. I know that those are not real things, but if you're giving them whole stories and outlooks, and then you're just like,
and they have feelings,
like owning them,
and they have desires, and they have wants and needs, and they are just owned.
Yeah, because they're like, you
by somebody.
Like they're like, we have to get Woody out of this box. How am I supposed to take my dolls and put them in a box and not feel something?
I felt so bad for putting my stuffed animals in my closet when I didn't want to, like, I was going through that transition of, like, there's too many stuffed animals on my bed for me to sleep. I have to put them in the closet. I felt so bad for
them.
I was
for
like,
which
oh
ones?
My God. What if, like, I don't even like putting, like, throwing my Appa around now.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't like throwing Appa around.
Neither do I. I don't like throwing
away
my PBJ otter.
I want to treat it with respect. And I know that this is, like, now we're getting into ridiculous territory.
But it's true. It's rooted in truth.
But if anything, if nothing says we are talking about fandom through a black perspective, then I don't know
what
does.
Honestly. Take care of folks, and you don't own anything or anybody.
Especially in Barbie movies.
Yeah.
And I'll point to examples when we're talking about certain movies. But
I,
like,
hear you.
Especially in Barbie movies, it freaks me out. It's like the pets and the animals sometimes are smarter than Barbie herself.
Yeah.
And she owns them.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, annoying ass talking animals. Annoying.
The
most annoying, except
disturbing.
For Bibble.
I don't mind a Petey Poo.
Bibble is the best part of Marytopia.
Oh,
Bibble
baby.
Is the only animal that doesn't annoy me.
Bibble is so precious. Bibble is a cute one, but also so is the cat that doesn't talk in Island Princess that we just noticed.
Yeah,
the other night.
It was in one shot.
That was in one shot. And
like,
was like smiling.
Literally
and
in one shot, and she was smiling and purring. And I was like, where'd she go?
Where'd she
I wanted her
from?
To come back the whole movie.
Me too.
Okay,
we
and
don't
then
know her name.
The last things. Are a purple magic ill animal sometimes. That's optional. And a really, really famous person is the villain.
Uh-huh.
In the first few, mm-hmm. especially, like, it was like...
Martin Short.
Angelica Houston.
Yeah.
Like, what?
That's a good one.
Like, literally, it was like, what, Tim Curry in Nutcracker. And then it was Angelica Houston in Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Martin Short in Princess and the Pauper.
Yeah.
And what's his face? Kelsey Grammer in Swan Lake.
Right.
These people are really good actors.
Yeah. Well, it was Barbie.
It was Barbie.
And then it turned into... And it was fairy tales
Barbie.
And ballet. And then it was just kind of like, yeah, there's another Barbie movie. It was never in theaters, obviously, but it just started kind of being like, you only knew if you went to the Target DVD section frequently enough to see that there was a new Barbie
movie. But it was Barbie. It was like, you don't have to market that there are Barbie movies because all the moms know who Barbie is. They played with her.
Right.
So it's like, oh, Barbie's in movies. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
That's what mommy did. She was like, Barbie's in a movie. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
Last thing. Barbie is the first word of every title. Every single fucking time.
It's like Barbie in the Nutcracker.
Barbie
as the Swan Lake.
Barbie of Swan Lake.
Barbie
actually.
Of Swan Lake. Barbie as Rapunzel.
Barbie as the Island Princess.
Barbie
as Princess and the Pauper.
Barbie in Fairytopia.
Barbie in Fairytopia. Or maybe Barbie colon Fairytopia?
No, I think it's Barbie in Fairytopia. But
it's
there
always
is a Barbie
something,
colon something.
It's like Barbie of.
Probably
Barbie in. Barbie as. It's always Barbie preposition. And so with that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, let's get into it.
The Nutcracker came out in 2001.
Yeah.
They literally said,
Barbie and the Nutcracker.
We need to make the first Barbie movie ever ballet.
Yeah.
And make it the scariest ballet.
Yeah. This movie was scary.
It was terrifying.
The Rat King
is
scary.
The Rat King is fucking...
The Nutcracker is scary.
The Nutcracker is so, so, so disturbing. And also, like, I cannot emphasize how annoying the Nutcracker is.
I'm sorry. His
Nutcracker.
Arm falling off.
He literally introduces himself. He says, I'm Nutcracker.
That's crazy, dude.
Okay, gay.
Like, sure.
I'm Clara. I'm Nutcracker. You're Nutcracker?
Like, dude, what's your name? And then he's like all ashamed of saying his name because
he's Prince.
He was cursed as a prince. Like, girl.
And he's like, I failed my... I don't even know
what
the
know.
Fuck. I don't know the plot of this.
This plot is so... The movie is, like, long to me. And...
It's, like, not even that long.
Maybe... Okay. Maybe... Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, maybe I should, like, fall asleep with it in the background sometimes. Because there's not really a plot going on. But no, I can't because I'm thinking of the beginning because the beginning is so scary. But the mid, where she's, like, on a swing with the fairies, that's
pretty nice.
I love
these fairies.
That's
these fairies are way
scene.
Better than the fairies in Fairytopia.
Yeah,
also.
And they're better than the ones in Fairytopia.
They're sparkly.
Except for the ones when they're, like, a couple up-close shots where they're, like, weirdly dark-skinned. And it looks like they just applied a weird filter on the white fairies. And it's like...
That's something that happens in every single Barbie movie. If you look in the background and the extras, that's another thing. There's never anybody who's not white.
Yeah.
There's never anybody who's not white as a main character unless it's... There was literally an Indian man in Nutcracker for some reason.
Yeah.
I think that probably is just from the original. In Barbie world, black people don't exist. And if they do, it looks like a white person that they already animated. It literally looks like a white person in blackface. Like all their black characters.
Did that.
I have a picture. I literally took a screenshot because I couldn't stand it anymore. Like, we'll put it up on the video version. But like, I couldn't believe it, Amber.
It's weird.
Like, even the brats. Like, look at brats. Like, even the brats all look alike.
Mm-hmm.
But the black characters
look black.
Like, they animated them to look black, not just, like, the white mold. Well, okay, if we're going to be real, all brats, all the...
They took...
The
they
white
they
girls look like
the
black people.
Characters.
And, mm-hmm.
That's probably what it is. But
that's
like,
exactly what I came to.
That's for another episode,
that's
what it is. I said that while watching. I was like, this whole... thing is probably like a dream and sleep paralysis, which would be horrifying.
I mean, but if that's the case, then why does she wake up and then immediately meet Eric?
And know
and then
him.
He has had shared history. Like, it's like their dream was the either their dream
I
was the same.
I don't like it.
Or either their dream was the same. Like, but why would their dream be the same? Why would he be the prince? So, like why would he be the prince?
I don't know. I didn't like the ending because I was like, this doesn't make sense. Just for that exact reason of you, like, going debriefing it. It's like, where did you? I don't like
it. Doesn't make
about
any sense. Barbie fantasy never makes any sense. Even this is coming
no.
from fantasy is my favorite fucking genre.
Fairytopia is all over the place. There are so many holes.
It doesn't make any sense. The rules of the world are weak. The villains are weak. Their motives are weak,
mm-hmm.
which is why the human villains are the best ones because they have crazy ass backstories.
Yeah.
And I understand why Preminger is like crazy, and I which we'll get to. But like,
they also the villains in the fairy tale ones, like they don't or it like the fantasy ones, they don't really have a reason for being as stuck as they are. And the ones in the human ones are actively plotting and are almost
right.
They almost got it
right,
and then they have to make a run for it. But they almost
yes.
got it. They actively made a plan
and executed it. That's
the
why
the
they're
fantasy
so scary.
Ones are, it's like why are you even just now attempting this, and why is your attempt so weak?
Their attempt is weak.
Like, what are you doing?
Weak. Like the Rat King, I'm like,
what
bro,
have you, been
you
doing?
Can't.
You
don't know how to organize a thing. Like,
and it's like, why are you even stuck in the boglands?
Yeah,
for Fairytopia.
And also, like, it's like Mother Gothel and Rapunzel. She's like, just kind of leaves Rapunzel there for long periods of time,
and
she's
and
like, how did
that,
she escape?
Makes
like,
that, and makes that horrible spell that traps herself in there. Like,
right.
That was something that you could have prevented if you had any sense.
She said, anybody with a lying heart shall never leave the castle.
As you know
and
that this
like,
girl hasn't lived enough to lie anyway.
And you have a lying heart. But that's also the oversimplicity of the Barbie.
She's perfect.
Barbie as Jesus. Like,
yeah.
She's perfect. She's never lied.
Right.
She doesn't have a lying heart.
Yeah.
But Gothel, she's evil.
Yeah.
She has a lying heart.
Yeah.
And it's always that black and white with
right,
Barbie.
Right.
Always. Barbie never makes a mistake except for in the Barbie Diaries.
Yeah.
But like, she literally will do every, and if she makes a mistake, it's like, we forgive you, Barbie. It wasn't your fault. Of course, anybody would have made that mistake. But no, it's because she's dumb and naive.
This conversation is making me think, I took a fairy tale class that was the elective for English in sophomore
year. Me too.
Year. And
me too. My sophomore year too.
I feel like Barbie, even though only the first few are like original fairy tales, I feel like all of these movies, even the ones that are set in the real world, are our fairy tales. And you could have a class on these
yeah.
and be like, what was oversimplified? Give me an essay on this one. Because I feel like the whole thing, the modern way to tell fairy tales is a little bit from the villain perspective, like Maleficent.
Mm.
Or like just seeing, like even Into the
Wicked.
Woods. Yeah, Wicked. Even Into the Woods, like you're like,
it's complex.
This
it's made
woman is
more
miserable.
Complex.
You see why.
Right. Because the Barbie villains are just never like humanized.
No.
Like,
it's just, in Barbie's not humanized
they're
either.
They're just villains. And
she's
then she's
idolized and they're in the trash. And
right.
That's what we were just saying. Neither one is humanizing.
Exactly.
I have this
note. So it's alienating.
It's alienating. It's alienating.
Mm-hmm.
It's alienating. The word
humanizing.
It's alienating.
Alienating.
It's not humanizing. It's alienating. That's crazy. I have this note here that I just want to share. Otherwise, I think that we're kind of done with Nutcracker. But I don't know why I said this. No, you said this. It says Amanda about the Nutcracker. He's like the dumbest person on Love Island, which is true. Do you want to speak on that a little bit? I don't know what you said that for, but I'm like, yeah,
I have a note here. I was like, it's comical how much we hate Nutcracker. He literally says anything and we're like, why would you do that? Shut up,
oh,
you dumbass fuck. Why are you so annoying?
He was irritating us as hell.
He was irritating us so bad, but I feel like it was because we were also watching Love Island Games at the same time. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or I had just been recently watching the most recent season of Love Island UK, and it's just like, he just like doesn't say smart things. He doesn't say anything useful,
mm-hmm.
but he says it as if he's so smart.
Right.
Like, which is what Ken does a lot.
Yeah.
Ken, there's a whole song in Princess of the Pauper of him teaching her something.
It's because he's not saying anything that we find useful, but
no.
Barbie does.
Barbie's
like, wow, he's really smart. He's just saying common sense.
Like,
my
he's
girl.
Literally saying common sense, but they've dumbed Barbie down so much that she, like, literally, like, is so naive. She needs to get everything from everybody else.
Yeah, it's like they made her Cinderella, even though we have other fairy tales to choose from.
And also, we've seen nuanced versions of Cinderella. Like,
yeah.
We've seen a nuanced version of Cinderella. Like, Ella Enchanted.
I said this is the Snow White of Barbie movies. Nutcracker was, I thought Nutcracker was the worst, but there are actually more movies where she is acting, like, useless.
Absolutely.
That was just the first one we
saw. I thought it was going to get better. I literally did. I was like, did I misremember? Or do I just not remember these, or am I realizing something that had a profound effect on me as a person socialized as a girl and like somebody who I'd already idolized blonde girls, like already idolized blonde girls, and like having Barbie as the standard did not help my Hannah Montana phase, did not help my being surrounded by white girls in the South period of my life.
We were stuck.
We were stuck. I was like, why wouldn't I want to be a thin white blonde girl? Everybody that they're showing me is.
Yeah.
Like Hillary Duff, Britney Spears, Miley Cyrus,
Ashley Tisdale,
Ally and AJ. Like, which blonde girl are you going to throw at me next? Like, what other blonde girl can you throw at me next?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just all like Taylor
like
Swift.
She is supreme.
Like, this is supreme. This is what this
Britney
is.
Britney Spears. Did you say Britney Spears?
Yeah. Like, this is what it is. And it's like, who's the next in the Christina long line of blonde girls? Like,
yeah. Even if they're like a different personality, they're still blonde, and it's just showing like, be blonde with oomph.
Be blonde and don't make life too hard for men. And they'll love you and cater to you and cherish
Britney
you.
Britney Spears isn't even blonde.
And it's like, so many, Miley Cyrus isn't even blonde.
Yeah.
So many of these blonde girls aren't even blonde. Like, literally the girls in my grade, it was literally as if, like, overnight, like, all the brunettes, I remember the summer that all the brunettes in my grade turned to blonde.
Ashley Disney's not even blonde.
Because all the people were finally allowed to dye their hair from their mom. And it was, like, when we were 11. And I was like, I don't remember there being this many blonde girls in my grade.
That's crazy.
What's going on? And it would even just be, like, it would start as, like, little bitty highlights. But as they get less blonde as they get older, because girls that are like blonde when they're a lot of white girls are blonde when they're born, and then they start having like dirty blonde hair or like even darker hair as they get older, and they're like, oh my god, you're and then their parents will be like, your hair was so pretty when you were little, your hair was so pretty, you were what's it called, a towhead, you were a towhead, you were so pretty when that beautiful blonde hair, where did it go, where did your blonde hair go? It's like,
that's the good hair.
Oh my god, like, let her be dirty
whatever
blonde.
Her hair is.
Let her be light brown.
Let it grow out of her head.
Oh my god, like, let it grow out of her head.
Come
like,
on.
Let her roots.
Let it show.
Let her roots out.
Leave that girl alone.
Like, I was like, what is happening to the white girls in my grade?
Yeah.
The brunettes.
There was a point in seventh grade where I thought, like, hair straightener fried hair was the look.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who I was around. All of the girls in my grade had straightener fried hair.
Yep.
And I'm like, this isn't the look.
There's no way
for this to be the look.
It was. It was crazy.
No. But I'm talking like compared to like how having stick straight hair in Hollywood was the look.
Yeah.
I thought what these 11-year-old girls were doing to their hair, which was burning it to the crisp where it was barely moving, I thought that was the look.
Because everyone had it.
Because
it wasn't even
they
like
were trying to be that.
It was, and it wasn't even like, oh my god, that's so cool. It's like, that's that.
That's
it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like, this is the look. Do it or die.
Yeah. Right.
And Barbie contributed so, literally so much, and like subconsciously, I think, in the same ways that like patriarchy in real life tells women to shut up and be pretty, like Barbie was also doing that, because Barbie was shutting up and being pretty.
Yeah. And really nice.
One of the only things I said about Rapunzel was, these don't get good until Princess and the Pauper, I fear. And I didn't know that that was just the one good one in the batch that we were about to go through, and it was about to be hell. I said I would hate if Barbie told me these long-ass stories. I'd be like, girl, shut up, and can we paint?
Mm-hmm. I said, okay, this one I said, the dragon is cute, but is annoying as hell. Because she is cute when she doesn't speak.
I said, why are all the animals purple? Ugly-ass movie.
Yes.
Not the those didn't have anything to do with each other.
Well, yeah, I know. The prince. Oh, I said the prince never looks like the Ken doll. Me going off again. And then I said, I said again, IDK who the male lead is, but it is not Ken. I was just so upset. But then I said, for the tagline of this movie would be, this Barbie is dumb, because they were using her as a device to explain obvious plot. Like, the characters were explaining things in such description. And this is where I'm like, maybe it's because it's a child's film. Like, maybe we can pull that it's a child's film. But
we can
like,
give her some points.
We can give her some points there. But they were describing things in such weird, and she's like, oh, really? How do we get back? With the paintbrush they just told you how to get there with.
You just used it.
What are you talking about?
You just used
it. It's like fucking watching Dora.
I said, this Barbie is dumb. I said, Barbie's characters are always so annoyingly goddamn nice. Like, even to her oppressors. It's like, girl, do something.
Yes.
Dumbest girl in the world award.
Come on.
Bimbo Nation for real. If you want to look at an actual bimbo. Look at Barbie, the actress.
Watch Barbie animated. Watch Barbie in blank. Oh, I don't have money for Swan Lake.
Oh. We talk about Disney Channel acting, but I feel like there's also Barbie acting. Like, ugh! Or like, oh!
I'm thinking of faces and like movements. I'm going like, sorry for the listeners, but I'm like. Like
Barbie doing ballet with the limpest wrists ever.
Her laughing at something that Ken did. She goes, you gotta look at me. Stop.
Barbie thinking.
Barbie kind of being a little upset. I can't even say that with strength.
She literally doesn't even be upset. No!
You can't! Whatever.
Because anger would be unladylike.
Yeah.
Oops. Except for in Mariposa, where she does get fucking angry. It was so crazy.
You mean Magic of the Pegasus.
I always get it. It's just too much. Like, so I said in Swan, like, ugliest Ken so far. The Kens keep getting uglier.
I Swan, like I said, man is not Ken once again.
I said, why do all the elves look like children in this?
Because
they are playing adults. I understand that they're adults and they're supposed to be elves, but you cannot use your animation that you use for children with adult elves.
I think what it is like we were really supposed to, this is just me pulling this out of my ass. I think this is what it is. We were really supposed to look at this movie as them casting a play. And so for the play, they casted their Kelly dolls.
I understand that entirely, and I would be so fine with it, except for they make adult jokes.
I agree with that.
The snake, the skunk.
The porcupine and the skunk
are married.
Mm-hmm.
And they make sexual innuendo.
Yeah.
And they're in the bodies of children.
Yeah.
And also, how problematic is it that we're likening little people to children? They don't look the same.
Oh.
They don't look the same.
No, they
little
don't.
People who are adults. They're not children.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
That's just right.
I couldn't get all off of this. I said Odile is an icon. Odette? And a legend. Odile.
Which one not?
Daddy!
Oh.
Daddy, wait! Daddy, wait! Daddy!
Wait, what did she say? She said something else crazy.
She doesn't give a fuck.
She's so crazy.
She doesn't give a fuck and about being the most annoying girl in the world.
Daddy!
Like, she is so obnoxious, but she's like, she doesn't give a fuck.
No.
She will literally interrupt her dad trying to take over the world in a very important, like,
to complain. Yeah.
Daddy! He's like, what's up, girl? And he does. He abandons whatever he's doing for her.
They're like, what would happen if Ozai and Azula traveled together?
I think Ozai would leave Azula high and dry if she called his name.
No. Listen to me. I'm talking if she was raised and socialized with her father as being the favorite one as she was, but like in a way where it was like, you will stand beside me as I go rule the world because it's like a completely different story.
Yeah.
That's what. And I think that when he was like, Azula, silence yourself. I think that was one of the first times he's said something like that to her.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's the first time he's scolded her because she was embarrassed.
Yeah, she was like, what?
She's usually like, why are you talking to me like Zuko?
Right.
Because.
Yeah, I do think that when.
We're like this, aren't we?
I do think that she would, because of that, realize quickly that he would leave her high and dry. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't actually love her. Whereas Rothbard, I think, does love Odile and would drop everything for her as he does multiple times.
Yeah, he's like, okay, fucking come on!
And again,
let's go!
They're more interesting than Barbie's character and than Ken's character. Like, they're way more. And also, there's sometimes this, like, benevolent queen fairy figure in some of them.
Yes.
And she's also useless.
She's useless.
She's supposed to be all powerful and she's useless.
She's like you have to go through the woods.
She's like, it has to be you. You have to find the special fair
find it in
ruby
the woods.
Or else we'll all perish. And it's like, why couldn't you do anything?
You can float.
If
you
Barbie,
go get it.
If Barbie, who can't do anything,
can do it,
why can't you do it?
Go get it. You can float.
Go get it. It's always something where it's like, Barbie's the chosen one, but it's literally like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why? Because she's pretty. I think that Rothbard's nose is not right.
I think so, too.
I think it's extremely anti-Semitic.
I think so, too.
I don't know why they did that. They should be in the most shame.
It's you could almost get away with the fact that they're like they both turn into birds because it's like Swan Lake, but
it looks like absurd. An anti-Semitic caricature.
It's absurd. Like it's like a caricature.
It's in the same way that the Grow Sisters are not right.
The Grow Sisters are not right. They had no
right
goddamn business making them blue.
I was literally just getting ready for bed the other night, and I was like, thinking to myself, the Grow Sisters were not right. Like, I remember when I got cornrows and I thought they were going to be like free falling, like where I could put beads in them and my hair could jiggle. And instead, the woman cornrowed them straight back.
Yeah.
And I cried for days because I thought I looked like Lil Romeo and the Grow Sisters.
Same.
And I hated looking masculine in any way. And and the Grow Sisters were like masculinized because the blacker you are, the more masculine you are, according to society. Mm-hmm. And I just, but yeah.
That wasn't right.
That wasn't right. No. And they also all just casually know ballet. Ballet's not a thing in this movie. And they all know ballet, including Ken.
Yeah.
Ken just starts dancing with her.
Yeah.
And I know it's a ballet, but like in the movie, they don't make it clear.
No.
I do think that the Ken in this one was the ugliest. However, I think he was...
Is this still Swan Lake?
Swan Lake, yeah. Okay. I think he was the one that was the most believable love interest because he was obsessed with her. He kept coming back into that enchanted forest being like,
"Where is
please,
she?
I'm begging you to come to my ball." Like, and she's like, "I can't, I'm a swan." And he's like, "I'm begging you to come to my ball." Like, and she was like,
right.
"Fine, I will."
Right, right. Him,
I'll come to your ball.
Him, Princess and the Pauper, and Island Princess did have... Kens that wanted her.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
really wanted
especially,
her.
Especially Princess and the Pauper.
Yeah.
You already said it, but like Kelly doesn't want to race and she tells her a story about a swan. Like, it just doesn't make any, like, it doesn't add up.
No.
It's like, shut the fuck up and let me go to sleep. Like, I just told you I didn't want to race.
Right.
The next one is Barbie as Princess and the Pauper.
Yes.
Which was one of the best ones.
One of the best ones. Beautiful music. One of the ones that I feel like is most memorable to people who don't really watch Barbie.
Right. Or, they're
like,
the most
oh, yeah,
iconic.
I remember watching that as a kid. Yeah, it's the most iconic. That's If I Were a Girl Like You.
Wait, let me do that again.
If I Were a Girl Like You.
Yeah, I just had to get that right.
Right. No, yeah. It has great music. It has like good plot.
It
like
is so
you can
quotable.
Follow the plot. My tooth! My tooth!
My tooth? No! No! Not my tooth!
Wow, my tooth! Also, that reminds me, there are
that's
characters.
That's the poodle. The poodle with a gold tooth, if you didn't know.
And Serafina's so cute. She's a little cat.
She's so cute.
She's so precious. And also, a Cat's Meow song actually makes me cry.
No,
where
I
she's
sobbed.
Like, you are more than that. You're a dogish cat. I think you can look at that
only
in so many different ways.
You
can look
I
at that
see.
From a gender spectrum. You could look at that from a race. You could look at that just being an other. Because I love that song so much.
I love you the way you are, and that will never change.
Like, I was literally crying. I've never sobbed as hard as I did on this viewing. Because I know you say that you cry to it when you listen to it in the car, but
yes.
Like, it's so precious. It's so precious. I don't even like, and again, I don't even like that
says
that the pets are talking.
This is what I said. There's the part that goes, Noah's Ark should have had a cat like you. And that makes me cry because it's like, you can look at it from if you grew up religious and it's like Noah's Ark should have included or whatever. The Bible should have included gay people as gay people. And they should have been included in the church as well. Like Noah's Ark should have had diversity on it too.
Yeah.
Noah's Ark could have had a cat that barked.
Yeah. Just because you're different from like what we're told is the norm doesn't mean
what
that
we're
you're
told
not
that
natural.
Can be actually saved. Like Noah's Ark saved all the animals except for different animals.
Right. There's nothing unnatural about you.
Right.
There's nothing like
you are you the way you are. Oh my gosh. And she's singing that to the baby cat who barks. And he's looking so happy. He is smiling so big and it's just the most precious thing in the world.
I agree. I think it's cute. I really hate that they talk. Like the talking animals.
He don't
in this
talk
movie,
in this scene, and that's why it's.
I know, I know. The talking animals in this movie are so annoying. Like I don't like how the poodle gets on my damn nerves. Oh, I forgot
I don't
to
even
mention
like
the fucking
talks.
Like creepy as hell otter around Oh, her neck in Rapunzel.
Who spoke kind of like Nandor from What We Do in the Shadows.
Who's literally moaning and groaning the whole time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like kind of like weird moaning. It's like what? Are
you? He's like, I don't like that.
And then he slithered out of like someone's shirt and was like, it was like, what are you, what was that?
Like, what is going on?
Who there was made one, this character?
There was one that was so excessive that Dan Schneider was like, what?
Yeah, it was really weird.
It was
It was like one of the last ones with the movie too, and I was like, okay.
No.
That's actually enough.
So I don't like, maybe it's because it's in the kids movie that it made me realize the thing about not being owned, but it's just like, this is a child's movie, and the animals are acting more adult than Barbie is. Like, if I don't know how old Barbie's supposed to be, if she's supposed to be a teenager or in her 20s, but the animals act like they're older than her.
It's because they're essentially the animal guardians. They're playing the animal guardians of the film, where it's like, Barbie can't do it, but she has this animal that will get her out, which is still problematic.
She doesn't see them as equals, though. Like, because even in Rapunzel, when the dragon can talk to her, she doesn't see them as equals.
Which is still problematic, because you can also go back and say people who owned people expected those people to help them out of dire situations, even though they treated them as people that they were owned.
And they did. Well, okay, this movie said brunettes need to go with brunettes, blondes need to go with blondes, first of all.
That's what they did.
That's what they did. They said,
Overclass. That man's blonde and he is the blonde ones.
Blonde versus brunette is more important than class.
Yes.
Always. I hate Barbie and Ken together. I like that the Barbie movie rip them apart, because they do not go
they
together.
They do nothing for me.
I don't want them together. I don't ship them. I want them far away from each other as possible. They're the two most annoying beings on the planet. Mm-hmm. And when they get together, they're quadruple annoying.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like almost like, maybe see what Ileana can bring for you in Island Princess.
I can't believe that Homegirl said, I'm just like you, you're just like me. And she said, I'd rather be reading books in my library. When the other girl is in a lifetime of debt and cannot, it is an indentured servant.
Like
read the room. Like, this is another reason even the blonde Barbie is dumber than the brunette Barbie.
Right.
I'm like, what are you trying to say to me about blondes?
Yeah.
You are saying to me about blondes that they're dumb, nice, they get everything they want.
Too dumb to be empathetic.
Too dumb to be empathetic. However, they deserve everything in the world.
Yeah.
And the brunettes are the poorer class, uglier, never get the guy.
Like, yeah. Like, that is what that movie is saying. But
we said the least magical Barbie movies are the best.
Yes, they're the best. And they also have the most music, which also...
They are musicals.
They're really good. They have
such good music.
You can really apply them to things as we've been conversing about this entire episode. Whereas with Fairytopia, you really can't, because it's like, what do you mean she doesn't have her wings? Like, why? And then if she takes off this necklace that you granted her at the end of the movie, is she gonna lose her wings? Because that's kind of pointless too. And
it's like, if you can't,
nothing's explained in these movies.
No, nothing. It's like, oh, if you don't do the spring ceremony correctly, which is in the second Fairytopia, but it might as well just be the same movie because it's long and boring and nothing happens.
Yeah, just a plot of a journey that's like, why couldn't we take an easier way to fix this?
They're literally like, if you don't do the spring ceremony right with this petal, the petal will shrivel up and we'll have winter for 10 years.
Yeah, and it's
Why? Why do you have a ceremony that you do every year that if you don't get it right, you'll have winter for 10 years?
And have you been? And so Amanda was like, maybe it's an eternal spring, which is an answer. But it's like, shouldn't you guys have all of the seasons? If you're fairies and natural and everything, and you're in nature and everything. But then on top of that, it's like, we were talking about the villain backstory. Laverna is like banned to the boglands, but her whole aesthetic looks like she enjoys being there. And so it's like, why is she trying to seek revenge on her sister to overtake Fairytopia when she doesn't even like necessarily want to change it? So I'm just like, what?
What does she want?
What
her desires
is
are
the story.
What does she want? And how come she's so much again? Why is she so much more damn powerful than the Enchantress, her twin sister?
Yeah. And where did these fungi come from? And
why are they following her?
How did she get banned there if it looks like she likes
it there?
She's
literally dressed like she likes it there.
She's dressed like she likes it there. There's things coming up. It's not like she was banned there and then started looking like that. to my understanding,
we don't know.
This is what she's always looked like as she's raised, and it's like it would make more sense if they gave her like a little community over there that she was ruling, and she was like, we want to make all of Fairytopia look like this, but no, she just wants to poison all of Fairytopia,
right.
Even though she can fly too, she looks like she is happy at home.
She doesn't have any allies. Like she has no fairies that are allies. She's only hanging out with the fungi. So I'm like, what's your end goal here? Do you want friends? I don't know.
Do you want friends?
Nothing is thought through, and Alina never does anything. Like she never thinks of something. If she does, it's very, very rare. Like she gets everything handed to her, everything she's presented to her, and she's like, and then sometimes she's just magically like, wait, she'll go through a trial and she'll be like, wait a minute.
That's
Laverna. What's the snail's name? Whatever. There's a snail in Mermaidia.
The time traveling or whatever. The one that's supposed to
I'm going
to
treat
something.
All of the Fairytopia movies as the same because I don't fucking remember what's the difference. It's like all
the passenger,
one thing.
The
it's
passenger.
The yeah, she's like the snail opens up her shell and then there's like a fairy inside and she's like, oh, I need to ask you something. The oracle. I need to ask you something. And she's like, blah, 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 riddle, riddle, riddle. And Barbie's like, I know. The oracle is the snail.
Yeah, like,
aren't you? And she's like, yes, I am. And then she tells her the answer, and then it's so easy. It's like,
there are
what?
Like little moments where it's like, okay, she's gonna figure it out now. But the whole other movie, she's useless. And then I also wanted to touch on with Barbie, Fairytopia, Mermaidia, and Magic of the Rainbow. I don't like the way she treats Bibble. She forgets that Bibble is a small puffball.
He's tiny.
When
he can't
you
be left
are
on his own.
Literally in the depths of the ocean and with a tail that you've been granted by a necklace, and small Bibble is under there with just some, like, breathing on kelp with his tiny little feet and wings. There's danger in the ocean. You better have him. Hold on to him. And I don't like how that he's only got his tiny little hand on her shoulder as support. And she doesn't have him or anything. I'm like, you could easily be separated.
No.
He's so small.
She also, like, talks down to him. Like, he'll say something that he really feels with his whole heart, like,
and she's like
Bibble.
It's like Bibble just told you something.
Bibble has something to say.
Bibble just made a fucking point. Bibble said we shouldn't do that because that seems dangerous, and you said, Bibble. And then also in that one scene when she threw that, they were like playing catch and she threw that thing at Bibble and he went flying, and she was like, oh,
are
you
okay?
No, Barbie. No, Alina.
Her voice is so high pitched in Fairytopia.
It's giving those.
I was like, is that Kelly Sheridan or is
yeah,
it not?
It's her. Like because she's like a tiny fairy, whatever.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the way she treats Bibble. It's giving people who treat their cats crazily.
Right. No. It's giving people who are like, oh, like
and
I give my cat a good home so I can treat her any way that she wants and I can annoy her all the time.
Yeah. And it's
like I'm like, don't rub your cat the wrong way. Don't dress them in clothes because they hate it.
And make sure
it makes them
okay.
off balance.
Make sure they feel safe.
Like I
don't give your cat anxiety. Are you insane?
Like, why would you give an animal anxiety? They don't. They can't do
they
anything.
They don't deserve that.
But that is literally what Alina does to Bibble. And I know he can talk and that she can understand him. But which also, again, I'm like, is he her pet? Like, I don't know. It just rubs
right.
me the wrong
like,
way.
Are you friends?
He has complex thought and he has opinions and he says them, but he has to go wherever Alina goes.
Yeah.
Because she is so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, there was something really, really
she
dumb
was like,
that
you
she
can't
did.
Stay here, Bibble.
Oh, she turned fucking Laverna back into herself from a
the
frog.
The dumbest thing in the world.
Because the frog was
that
like...
That looked exactly like Laverna.
She literally turned her back into a fairy, and I was like, can you be dumber? That's literally like Barbie only makes things go wrong.
But also, even furthermore, this is just on the writing, because that dumbass man who was supposed to be like her professor or whatever, when she went back and said, I turned Laverna back into herself, he said, show me the boglands instead of show me Laverna. You have this thing that can show you everything, and you weren't specific about what you needed to see? Like, you said, show me the boglands, not Laverna.
I feel like turning this into a musical would have made everything more clearer and more entertaining. Like,
probably. It would have moved the story along.
Move
a
the story
bit
along. Every single song in Princess and the Pauper and Island Princess move the story along. Even the rat song in Island Princess.
Cheese.
Like, we got rats singing about cheese, and it moves the plot forward, and I can't figure out what fucking Fairytopia is even about.
Mm-hmm.
The Fairytopia movies also, they're so short, barely anything happens. Where you're having complex class discussions in Princess and the Pauper.
Right.
And honestly, Island Princess. And Fairytopia.
Nothing.
What's happening?
Right.
Like, we Magic of Pegasus is frozen, first of all.
Yes,
like,
it's
she literally
frozen.
Goes on a journey with a guy who's acting like an asshole, and he is acting like an asshole. And then Barbie, literally, when she gets... So the movie, for people that don't know what it's about, because it's honestly so obscure and I had never seen it, it's a wizard has turned Barbie's sister
into
a Pegasus. Like years ago, because she wouldn't marry him, and now he's back because she's 18 and he wants to marry her, and so she goes on a journey with her sister, who's a Pegasus,
yeah.
to like get a magic staff to like beat
defeat him.
And as soon as she gets the magic staff, she's like, "I want to destroy him."
Yeah, and that's
like,
the angriest we've seen Barbie.
Never seen Barbie this mad.
She had real emotion.
Vengeful. She's so vengeful, and I did think it was interesting, but I thought the movie was terrible and boring.
She was very vengeful because it was her sister. Right. Also, it's frozen because there's a redheaded sister. There's like a lot of snow.
Also, the baby polar bear in this is in love with Ken. Weirdly in love with Ken.
Okay, yes. Weirdly in love with Ken. Really annoying. Like, could not stop making noises. like, get out of here. like, every single... get out of here! And shut up!
Literally, like, stop being creepy to Ken. You're a baby
polar bear.
You cannot have him.
Okay, yeah. Magic of Pegasus was just interesting. It was just interesting to see Barbie in this light, and also her Ken being a brat, an actual full-on brat.
It also reminded me of the 12 Dancing Princesses, only because they were sisters in like a cold land. But I did not watch the 12 Dancing Princesses. But it was disorienting that all the princesses were just Barbie with different voice and hair. Like, that was scarring.
Well, it was also interesting. Well, it was interesting that they weren't all the same age, though. Like, I was expecting them to be all the same age.
Also, not this man impregnating a woman 12 times and then she's dead.
Oh, that was crazy.
Like, this man impregnated a woman 12 times and then she's the dead parent in this. Amber fell asleep.
I had to fall asleep.
I didn't pay attention. Like, I literally didn't look at the screen once after she fell asleep, and because it was boring as fuck.
Okay, Barbie Diaries. This was Mattel's attempt at a 2000s film. This was giving Freaky Friday, Sleepover, Aquamarine.
Mean Girls, kind of.
Yeah, Mean Girls.
Mean Girls?
Mean Girls.
The plot was Mean Girls.
It was definitely Mean Girls.
Literally, the plot
just
was
my
mean
luck.
Girls. Just My Luck.
It was Just My Luck.
It was all these things mixed with one because...
A Cinderella story.
The premise is that Barbie is with her friends.
Barbie is with her friends in a band.
And they want to be a famous band, but
they
at the same
be pop,
time...
They want to have a great year at school. Barbie wishes to be popular.
Barbie wants to be popular and to be the newscaster at her school.
She wants to be with the hottest guy.
Wants to be in a band, wants to be in the hottest guy, wants to be a newscaster. Like, all these things.
All these things that teen girls want in high school.
But it was too much.
It was like every single thing in one. Like, she wanted it all. But we were also supposed to, like...
This is the first one. This is also the only one that we watched that is not the same animation as the other. So she does not look like a doll. It's just, like, a different type of animation.
It's literally a rom-com.
And she's in the real world. It's the only one where Barbie's playing a teenage girl in the real world going to high school. And she is a fucking bitch.
She's, like, main character selfish. Like, she's, like, Disney Channel star, sitcom selfish, like... She does all of the wrong things just for it to be a lesson to whoever's watching it. She treats her friends crazy.
She starts spying on the popular girls to make to write an article about them.
Yeah.
And her friends are like, "You ditch us for the popular girls." Barbie's like, "No, I'm just making an article about
them. I'm just doing research.
I'm doing journalism."
Yeah.
And then she like betrays the popular girls, which is she does a kind of dick move by like outing their private conversations.
It's actually Mean Girls.
It literally is Mean Girls, but at the same time there's a battle of the bands and her best friend is in love with her, but she's in love with the popular girl's boyfriend.
And then she gets this magical locket.
She gets a magical diary with everything that she writes comes true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all her dreams are coming true, but her friends are like, "You are being
an asshole.
Like, you're being an asshole to us. You're not coming to band practice, even though you entered us into the battle of bands.
Yes, right.
Like,
it's the strangest movie, but Sky Sweetnam sings in it, and we love Sky Sweetnam.
Also, Ken's not in it. The man's name is Kev.
Now hold on a minute. Now, what I will say is, this may be the only movie I did see a Ken in, and Todd was Ken. No, he wasn't.
I don't think so.
I really don't feel
like he was just blonde. More Ken-like, he was just blonde. But I was like, why is his name Todd and why is his name Kev? Like, also Kevin
Todd
is a
was
creep.
An asshole. Kevin was a creep. He made
he
kept
creepy
on saying
jokes.
Weird things.
He's like, hey, I'll get in on this girl hug. Yeah, lucky me.
And
he's
we're
like
supposed
filming,
to sympathize with him.
He's like filming cheerleaders. Yeah,
right. Hey, Kev, why were you filming?
Also, like
practice?
Barbie is acting like such a loser. She's so passive in this movie, and the passivity that we've been hating throughout all of these movies
heightens in this one.
Heightens because it shows her
in
as
real
like
world
in
high school.
Yep, in the real world, she is a loser. Yeah. She literally never sticks up for herself against the popular girl who is such a bitch. Mm-hmm. She's so weak. She doesn't have any of her own opinions. Like, the Barbie to celebrating mediocre whiteness pipeline is like never been clearer in this movie.
And it's also giving Lizzie McGuire.
It's giving I can't do anything.
Yeah. Get it together. You have your friends.
It's literally giving I can't do anything. I'm selfish and everything good happens to me.
Yeah.
Like, Lizzie McGuire is such a good example.
Like,
because that's
everything in Lizzie's life is going perfectly fine. You have your friends. You have, like, one of your best friends is in love with you.
Right.
And you are desired by all. Everyone thinks you're cute and fun.
Right.
So
you literally, like, are having, like, a secret relationship with a hot Italian pop star, and then you become the hot
Italian
pop star.
And you just perform on stage. You're okay.
You're okay, girl.
You're okay.
Don't act like you can't do nothing. They give Bibble a partner in Magic of the Rainbow, and I said this is gay Bibble erasure, because Bibble is gay.
Bibble's gay.
Bibble is in love with a female version of him that's just pink and like literally looks. It's the same animation.
But
it's
maybe
like,
we can just say both of the puffballs were non-binary.
Maybe they were, you know, but they were very male and female coded.
Yeah,
and that's just Barbie's
way of
you
life.
Know, way of life.
Either way, Bibble was adorable. Should we get into the very best one?
The very best one, and the one we have seen multiple times a year, every year since it has come out.
Barbie as an island princess.
Now, this movie, the premise is that Barbie was thrown off a ship when she was 12 years old. She washed ashore on an island
and was
lost her memory and was raised by a red panda,
a peacock
named Soggy.
Saji.
And
a peacock
named
Azul, who thinks he's royalty.
Who thinks he is a prince.
And a giant baby elephant.
Named Tika.
With big old blue eyes and eyelashes.
Huge.
Very odd.
And then
looking.
One day
Antonio
washes
rolls
ashore.
Up as a colonizer.
Colonizing.
Like, what can we find here?
Just one day he was colonizing.
What type of
and
treasures
he,
can we come take from this island that I have never seen and or know if anyone inhabits it?
He rolls into a swamp and he's about to be eaten by alligators and
crocodiles.
Crocodiles. And Ro swings in and starts talking to the crocodiles and says, get out of here.
Don't eat them.
Don't.
Not even a little bite.
Not even a little bit.
Don't eat them. She actually talks to animals, and that's what Antonio
says. And he's
says.
Like, oh my
God. Is she
God.
Talking to the crocodiles?
Is she talking to the crocodiles? How did you communicate with them? He's so fascinated with her, thinks she's so beautiful, and takes her home.
Mm-hmm.
And then she doesn't feel like she fits in, and you know. So if you don't know anything, but we're going to be talking about it, and I hope that it makes you want to watch this movie, because it's one of the best movies. The music is Broadway level.
Yeah.
The music is Broadway
the
level.
The music is beautiful. It tells the stories. They've got great duets. They have, like, full songs with, like, lyrics that are moving the story along. Like, if you listen to it,
it will move you understand explaining. What's going on in a very, like, succinct but beautiful way. Like,
yes.
Literally watching all those ass
you're feeling the passion.
Gave me such a better appreciation for this movie. Like, I was like,
this is a pretty good one.
This is my Barbie movie. I was like, why do we watch this one so much more? And why don't I have any? Why have I never seen all of these again?
Because it stuck with us.
This stuck with us, and the other ones didn't. I don't know why they fumble the bag so hard. Every Barbie movie should be a musical. I even think Barbie the movie should have been a musical.
Yeah.
Like the dancing scene. And Ken has two songs. Like,
yeah.
Why does Ken have two songs and Barbie doesn't have any songs and it's not a musical? Like, I just think that was a flop.
Yeah.
The first line of this movie is "What a night!
What a
storm!" And I say it all the time.
Me too.
Anytime anyone says "what a night,"
okay, there's one like that hurricane that we had in July. I said
"what a night,
what a storm." I was like, "Don't nobody know what I'm talking about."
It's literally
I do.
The music is so good, the overture, but Tika is the most annoying baby animal.
She is
of
so
all
annoying.
Time.
She is so loud
ask
and grating.
A rose bouquet.
Like stop, and she's like,
"You leave me. You can't. Leave You're gonna me. Leave me."
She literally sabotages Rose. Love life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she literally, like, steals a letter, that what's his face
left
where they're gonna get together. And also, this is a movie where Barbie is like, while we love this movie, the most interesting character is the villain, who's this like redheaded woman with the hair up to the ceiling,
like literally high,
and she literally is like,
she has her whole plan. One of the best songs is her song where she's talking about how she was scorned her family was scorned by the king's family, and now she's come back with revenge to get her daughter.
And he put them on a pig farm. And then she married a very wealthy man. And then she said, when I heard that good King Peter had a son, I had a daughter right away.
Yeah.
And it's like, with who?
Yeah, because she married an old king who died soon.
Yeah,
or she poisoned him. We really can't tell.
She's like, Monday we were wed. Wednesday he was dead. Happily that put an end to us. And so it's like, she literally did scheme and scheme and scheme. And she's telling her daughter that it doesn't matter that she's not in love with the king. You're going to marry him because we're going to get back in this castle.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be with the pig.
Yeah.
And I was saying to you last night when we were watching that when she fell into the pig pen at the end, that's the first thing I thought of when I learned that pigs eat people. If you didn't know this, they won't eat you if you're, like, just in there and, like, they won't attack you. But if a farmer, like, passed out in his pig pen, like, while feeding them and, like, nobody was there, he was alone, and, like, they ate him because he passed out, I didn't realize that they eat people. But that's what I thought when she, like, falls into the pig pen at the end and she's like,
not anything but the pigs! Oh, my God.
She literally,
insane.
This woman is so funny. Her daughter says that she wants to marry for love because of the books she's read about romance. And he says,
you should stop reading those books! Filling your head with thoughts!
Like, girl, she literally said that.
She's over
like,
it.
That is her... We can't not talk about Preminger. Preminger and this woman... What's her name? Antonia. Antonia.
No, Amanda. The boy's name is Antonio. Her name is not Antonia.
It's Queen Ariana.
Ariana.
Ariana and Preminger, I feel like, are very, very similar people in that they're, like, so over the top. They're literally both, like, kind of dressed, like, in drag. Mm-hmm. They're all costumes. And, like...
They move around very dramatically.
Oh!
Yeah.
Like, their songs, like, his song is one of the best songs I've ever heard, and mm-hmm. so is hers. Like, Island Princess and Princess Popper have amazing,
they
amazing,
lay out their plans.
Amazing music. And, like, the harmonies...
Yeah. In both. They both have great duets. They both have great villain backstories. Like, they, like, just... No other Barbie movies tell us the villain's motivation. They just wait until the end when it's like, when it's all said and done, this is what was going on.
Exactly. I just think that every Barbie movie should have been a musical, because the things that worked in these two are that the villain is interesting, and I feel like the villain is powering the story. Mm-hmm. Like Ariana's plans literally are what happens in the story.
Yeah.
Preminger's plan to kidnap her is what happens in the story. Like Ariana sending 3 rats to go poison all the animals on the island, which is what she does, to blame the island girl for being like the one bringing disease. Which, like, what is this movie saying about colonialism?
Right. It's actually, this movie is really crazy. It's a little wild.
It's romanticizing colonialism, but she's white. So it's like, oh, we found a white person on an island.
Yeah. Like, they're actually horrified by her, but she is pretty.
Yeah. And white. And she also always has eyeshadow on and lipstick, even though she's been on an island for years.
Yeah.
This bitch would have been nonverbal. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. She would not be talking to people.
No, she can talk. She's been talking to animals her entire life.
Her whole life.
It would be like Tarzan.
It would be like Tarzan. But
so get real.
Of course they don't want Barbie to act like Tarzan.
Yeah.
They would never want her to be. She's too feminine and pretty and
yeah, they would never
kind.
Have her hair down like her like frowning at the people from the side. Like they would never have that.
No, that would be too unladylike.
Yeah.
But it would be like Tarzan, and also my man's just like, he's
like, come back with us.
He's like, come. You don't know him at all and you're just gonna get on his boat?
Right.
Like, what?
It was just very odd. It was just very odd. This movie, when we went back and watched it with all the Barbie movies, we did realize this movie was done better than others. But I love it too, just because I can see the opening scene, the blue, I can hear the music. I did watch this movie so much. Like, this is one of my comfort films where I would just put it on.
Yeah.
And just, like, have it on in the background. Like, it makes me feel so comfortable and cozy.
The music and the settings, and also the animals. Like, the animals in this movie are really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because they're not pets.
Yeah.
The reason I think that it just works
characters.
Is because the monkey is a pet, and it actually might be saying something about colonialism.
Yeah.
It's like the animal, like Rose sees her animals as equals and her friends,
mm-hmm.
and the palace people see animals as their pets.
Yeah, even when the peacock walked in, she said, you brought home a pet for me. And I was like, this is a whole human. I don't know what
you're
talking about.
But also it's like, a little bit strange because it's like, okay, so are you saying that indigenous people are animals? Like, it's kind of like the indigenous people are the animals in that scenario. Yes. So, like, it's like Barbie, a white person with all her animals, treats them as equals.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I was like, if you made this about people and not there were no animals in this, it would be like as if Barbie fell off a, like, British ship and ended up on an island and was befriended by or, like, was raised by whoever was on that island. Mm-hmm. And then a white British man. Were they British? Half of them were British.
I don't know.
This man comes on.
They're probably honestly in the
sailing for
Caribbean.
Sailing for treasures and sees a white girl amongst whatever
natives,
whatever indigenous people or black people are there, and is like, I know you don't belong here. Come with me. Bring three friends.
Right.
That's
exactly.
What it is.
Exactly. Because that's how they treat them.
Yes.
Like, they're like, oh, like Barbie can talk to them. It would be the same if she was raised by the indigenous group on there. She would be able to speak their language,
exactly.
And they wouldn't be able to. And she would be the one translating.
They would be like, she's so well-traveled, she can speak to those that we don't deem the need to speak to.
It does. It's honestly a very bad metaphor and, like, in very poor taste.
Yeah, it is.
And it's interesting because I had that epiphany while I was watching Island Princess. Like, I was watching Island Princess and I was like, this is why I don't like talking animals as pets. Mm-hmm. Because they're supposed to be equal, but they're acting like pets and, like, they're a lower class than the other Barbie characters, even though they have just as complex thought.
Right.
Island Princess is a very like strange movie.
But it's got
and it's very campy.
It's campy. I was just about to say, but it's very campy.
The music is so good. It's iffy. Like along with all the other Barbie movies, just because like we like it and we like the music, like it's still like Ro doesn't do anything except get the sunset herb.
Yeah, she just feels insecure the whole movie.
The sunset herb. She's like, my name's a-.
She's like, but Luciana, after this man has been like, I don't want Luciana, I want you. Maybe for the third time, and is now like Luciana's given us. He has given us her blessing. Girl, if you don't stop thinking about Luciana,
she said you should be with Luciana. I shouldn't be here. I have to. This was a mistake. Like all the like tropey like
you were just denying everybody happiness.
I'm just little.
Luciana doesn't want him. He doesn't want her.
No.
And now you're just denying him what he does.
And
want.
She does the same in Princess the Pauper. They're very similar. It's like a marriage, like an arranged marriage that like a princess or prince don't want to do. It ends in a wedding where the villain like runs away after they've been caught, and then like the horse that we've been talking to in the movie goes after. Like
helps
and then someone's thrown over a bridge and then they end up happily married.
Yes.
Like it ends in a wedding and a song.
Such
I just guess like Barbie as a whole is just like so heteronormative. And whether it's like
it's so heteronormative that it's gay though.
Say more.
People, a lot of gay people like it.
Well, I think a lot of gay people like a lot of things.
I think it's just so bright that it's like you can't look away.
The aesthetics of Barbie movies are very gay. Mm-hmm. They use the bisexual colors. Mm-hmm. Like
the male animals are still really glittery and pretty.
Right.
That's
like everything's
I mean
pretty and glittery.
It's very all of it is very heteronormative, but it is so like
accidentally
it's
gay.
So hyper femme that it's like a man being in here is gay. A man being up in here is gay.
Yeah, which I felt about the Barbie movie too. Like all the Kens being in there, I was like, all these Kens are gay.
Yeah,
but they can also be into women because you know.
Yeah,
and
I'm not saying that they can. I'm just saying it's so heteronormative that it's gay.
Yeah, I also think that...
You can't make something so of a gender that it's exclusionary of another gender, or else that's literally the definition of gay. You're all homo.
Right.
Like football.
Like how men care about the opinions of other men more than they care about women.
Yes, it's like, okay. Like football and how it's okay
wrestling.
To smack an ass on the football field.
Yeah,
it's weird anywhere else.
Any form of fighting is just an excuse to touch other men in
an
intimate way.
Right, wrestling.
Without like being accused of being gay.
But that's fine, yeah.
And it's okay.
It's fine. Like, I mean, do whatever you want. Just understand that you don't have to be that strict in other spaces if you're that loose there.
Right. Like, I feel like a lot of the animals are like kind of queer coded. Obviously, the villains are. Because the villains are always like queer coded to a certain extent.
In a bit of a homophobic way.
A lot of the times. But like, I feel like Azul and Saji are her gay dads that raised her.
And they're adorable.
And like, they just fight all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're clearly gay. Like, Azul is like a gay man.
Yes.
So is
Saji.
They're like different.
Stereotypes
of being gay.
Yeah.
They just pair people up all the time. It's like Kelly and Tommy and Barbie and Ken, and like they'll pair the animals together.
They're almost trying to make the monkey and Saji seem like something.
I thought they were just fighting.
Growing up, I was like, are they head-to-head because they are like the components of each other in these different worlds?
They could be. It would have made more sense for her to have a monkey. Like, I don't understand why she had an elephant. Like, where are her parents?
I don't know where that elephant
like,
came
nobody,
from.
Like,
nobody... There also, was no elephant also, on the line. It would make more sense if she had a baby crocodile.
I can't... Yeah, it would. I can't believe...
Or a dolphin.
That the prettiest... Also, I just don't like Barbie. I don't like her character design, but I love Barbie's mother's character design. Rose's mother is the most beautiful Barbie I've ever seen in my life.
She was pretty.
And I don't know. She's just like beautiful. Like beautiful.
I would just say go watch Island Princess and enjoy it for the music, but also listen.
And Princess and the Pauper.
And honestly, all of them, if you have the time and want, it's pretty interesting to watch. If you grew up with them, it's pretty interesting to go back and watch. I bet it's been a while.
I'm just reading notes that I might have missed. At the end of Princess the Pauper, there's a song Amber says is so high pitched that this song is for the dogs. And we were like, why is it so high pitched? And he was like, this is for the dogs.
Oh my god, what was it? Oh right, I remember.
Oh, also there's Kelly is not in Princess the Pauper at all, but there is a blonde Kelly and a brunette Kelly. At the wedding, when they have the double wedding, they literally finish Princess the Pauper with a double wedding.
Oh, right. Oh,
double
right.
Blondes,
and they're flower
double
girls.
Brunettes, and then their flower girls are blonde and brunette, and then their cats are blonde and brunette, and then they have children, and they are blonde and brunette.
The white girls must have a good time. Like, anybody who wants to do a double wedding, y'all might have a good time with that.
Also, like, why didn't Preminger just marry her mom?
He,
like,
Preminger
had to,
crazy. He
had
went
to
all
marry
roundabout
the girl,
ways.
And he's like... And why
the mom was kind of like giggling at you, like
you
really could have gotten
you could have
her.
You literally could have just proposed and like been done with it, but instead you got a blonde guy and a brunette guy to kidnap her and then act like and then steal all the gold and then act like you were the gold guy from the beginning.
He's like, so crazy. Like he really did it a roundabout way. And I'm sure that Ariana could have done something else too. She could have done something else.
Honestly, because why did she think that she needed to get this specific castle? Like, I mean, I know she grew up there and then she like got kicked off and on pig farm and forgot, but like I just don't understand. Like there's flaws. Even though these two villains are the best villains, there literally are
she had
flaws.
Three more tries with the Kellys. Like she could have gone and gotten three boys.
These movies are nonsense. If you take anything away from this, watch Princess and the Pauper and Island Princess and do not watch any of the others
unless you really want to for a laugh
and
a nostalgic laugh. And in conclusion, we have seen a lot of Barbie movies. Our favorite is my favorite is Island Princess. I mean, I see all the attributes of Princess and the Pauper, but I will stand by Island Princess forever.
Yeah, I can't watch Princess and the Pauper too much. Like,
neither can I.
As soon as she's saying, "Yes, I'm a girl like you,"
it's over.
Well, you go low, I go high.
Yes, I am a girl like no.
You go
free
high.
To try crazy things, free from endless IOUs, free to fly, free to sing, and marry whom I choose.
She's just like complaining about being
like,
wealthy.
She's like,
I'm like, so just marry him, bitch.
Yeah, marry him and then go have your hobbies.
We're gonna do my scene episodes and a my scene episode and a Bratz episode,
which will probably be like, I'm sorry. I know that I really hope you guys did enjoy this. I know that we analyzed a lot. Hope that you guys can agree, but also see that we love the show. But when it comes to my scene and Bratz, we're also gonna analyze a lot. But I feel like we're gonna have a lot more positive things to say.
No, that's exactly what I was about to say is Barbie is ranked number 3 out of those 3.
Yes.
Like, I cannot stand by any of the Barbie movies.
Mm-mm.
Other than Island Princess and Prince of the Pauper. And even that,
it's not for Barbie.
It's giving
it's
a very
for the music.
Strange message.
Yeah.
You know, like, compared to My Scene and Bratz, I feel like the My Scene girls and the Bratz girls had more personality and more agency.
They had a more grasp on, like, Barbie's tagline, which is be who you want to be.
Right.
Like, they represented that
be
more.
Be who you want to be, and, like, they literally went after their goals. They went after their dreams. They were
They
go-getters.
Spoke up. They talked back.
They talked back to the boys.
They talked back to the boys, the mean girls, the adults.
Like,
anybody looking at them sideways. They were like, what do you think this is?
It was a little bit of toxic positivity because they literally could do anything, but, like, at least they were the ones that were the masters
perpetuating
of their own,
it.
Like, destiny.
Yes.
Like,
They had montages showing them working for it. Like, they did have those montages.
Barbie, at the end of the day, to me, is useless.
Yeah.
The one that I grew up with. And I don't know if her image can be rehabilitated through the Barbie movie.
I'm going to give it hope. I think if they do it in certain ways. I don't know how many more they got. I know they're doing a sequel, are they?
I don't know. I assume. Greta Gerwig didn't say that she was doing one. She was like, I'm not signed on for one and I don't really want to do one. But, you know, okay. They might get around it and do it.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, why don't we just have new
things?
Yeah. Like, why don't we just have a new doll or, like, a new gender neutral something? Like,
I wonder what that would take. Like, what it would
be. Why don't we just have new role models, period? Like,
several
plural.
Ones. Don't put it in one person.
Yeah, like,
right.
One person does not represent every girl.
There's
like,
no way.
They can't.
There's no way.
Like, and you can make Barbie be a bunch of different occupations, but that's just, like, a white girl being a bunch of different occupations. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be setbacks, which is also My Scene and Bratz. I think the key difference to Barbie, My Scene and Bratz, is that My Scene and Bratz are ensemble pieces, and Barbie is one
person. That is true.
So there's no main girl.
It's like
in
they
My
did
Scene
like
and Barbie. They, I mean, My Scene and Bratz.
They extended it to the point where it was like, this one brings this to the table, this one brings this to the table. Like, not one person brings everything to the table.
They don't represent all girls.
Yeah.
One person can't represent all girls. And if it's going to be the blonde, like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's like, Chloe doesn't represent all the brats. Mm-mm. Like, not by a long shot.
None of them do.
Barbie's not the most interesting My Scene doll.
Mm-mm.
Like, you can like her the best, but you could also like Madison the best. You could also like Noli the best.
For whatever reason that you relate to them the best.
Right.
Like, there's just more room for relating. You don't have to, like, find how you relate or act like you relate in
to
the way.
One
just
girl.
To relate, yeah.
Which is also why I was like, oh, like, okay, I understand that Mattel wants to make a live-action Barbie movie, and I understand they want to make it as feminist as possible, but I also was like, at the end of the day, like, this is still, like, a thin, white, blonde woman
mm-hmm.
who is representing all of feminism in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, not for all time and forever, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not going to relate to this as much.
Growing up, I never watched Barbie because I related to her.
No. No.
I watched it because it was there.
It was there, and, like, she was it.
Yeah. And with that... Have a happy new year, y'all.
Why don't we? How about we end on a song? Now, wait. Go 1, 2, 3. Wait.
One. Two,
okay. Three. No, we can't do it.
Let's do. I need to take. Ready?
Na, 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 na.
I need to know these answers. I need to find my way. Seize my tomorrow, learn my yesterday. I need to take these chances, let all my feelings show. Can't tell what's waiting, still I need to know. I need to know.
Okay, we did it.
And that was Ro and Antonio on the way
Antonio.
To the castle.
Follow us on everywhere at fangirl.central and follow us on Patreon at fangirl.central, patreon.com/fangirlcentral.
And as the last episode of the year, I want to thank everybody for tuning in sincerely from the bottom of our heart, my heart. thank you for being here with us since March or whenever you started tuning in, however many you've listened to or binge listened to or whatever. We love your support. We love the community and the validation in our craziness, our chaoticness.
I honestly,
and our truth.
I want to say yes. Thank you to every single person that has come to a live show, listened to this podcast, suggested this podcast to someone. Like, I genuinely
laughed with us,
didn't
cried with us.
I don't know. I didn't foresee many people. I don't know. Like,
I didn't see.
I didn't
it going. I didn't know. I don't know what I imagined this to be like, but I didn't.
I couldn't
picture us here in December at the end of our first season, and
right.
I'm just very excited for what's to come.
Yes, I'm excited for what's to come. I'm excited to rest and relax and come back fresh in the new year. Thank you, everybody, again for listening.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Stay safe out there. And as always, for the last time of 2023.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.